Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful night to podcast
and really drink
a Bud Light Seltzer Mango.
And a little hot cocoa from my Winnie the Pooh mug. Like a grandma. Mate. It actually says number one grandma on here.
That is hilarious. That is awesome. It does, and I can confirm. She held it up to the screen. I was able to see that. Did that sound? That can sound nice and crisp and refreshing
that
when I opened it.
Some ASMR. I was watching something and someone was calling it asthma, and I was like, "You guys are how fucking stupid! It's ASMR. Like, why are you calling it asthma? Are you
my
like,
asthma is acting up again?
Seriously?
Oh gosh, what a boomer thing to say. That's definitely some adult. That's a Winnie the Pooh grandma right there.
That was someone who was our age.
Man, just I subscribed.
Literally an idiot person.
I subscribe to my friend's asthma channel. And they send me feet pictures for free.
Okay. They ask Anyways. Me for feet pictures.
What?
Everyone asked me for feet pictures.
I would send you a feet picture because I went and got a pedicure today. But let me tell you, they cheese grated my foot today. And they shouldn't have because I'm not that rough, but the lady cheese grated off a piece of my toe and it was bleeding the entire time.
Oh my.
Yeah. Like legit. Maybe I will send you just a picture, but it was straight
Please
up.
Don't,
she's
though.
Like, she's like doing it. And she's like, do, 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 do. And I'm like, ow. And she's like, oh, so sorry. And then all of a sudden she started bleeding and she goes, oh, I am sorry. And I was like, yeah, bitch, I told you to use just the fucking, I just need the SpongeBob SquarePants down there. I don't need the cheese grater. I just need the thing, the little
the
yellow
pumice,
guy.
The pumice yeah. stone.
The plumbus. The plumbus is what I needed.
I do love a pumice stone.
And yeah, so I wanted to tip her less, but Jessica said no. But anyways. So, Kelki, can I give you a spoiler alert, how to get away with murder? Just real quick update where I'm at
oh,
in the
yeah.
show.
Tell
can
me
I just tell
you
real
are.
Quick?
I don't even know. We haven't talked about it.
So skip ahead a minute because I'm about to say something spoilery. And I'm giving you a chance. And then this is your last chance. 3, 2, 1. Wes just fucking died. What the okay. fuck?
Yeah.
Wes is dead?
Wait, is Asher still your favorite?
Yeah, Asher's still my favorite.
Okay, but how? Because
he's hilarious.
Oh, wait. Wait, this is the season. Is this the season with the Hap stalls?
No, that was last season.
Okay, well, because you told me that you weren't going to like people after they murdered people anymore. And I was like, you're not going to like anybody in the show then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
literally run out of people to like.
Yeah. The Hap stalls was last season. We're in season 4 now. We are cruising through this fucking show. Yeah,
it's good.
It is good. I'm a little bit. So Annalise like just got out of jail and she just got that like 60-year-old prostitute, her mm-hmm. entire record sealed, which was cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's where we're at right now. We'll keep watching it tonight. I will say that I liked that it was very courtroom drama-y in the beginning. It definitely fell off the rails, but that's all we're going to talk about this show. We will have more full content in our Patreon. I think, what do you want to do next week? Or do we need to take a week off? Because someone's moving tomorrow,
moving.
Like literally tomorrow.
Yes. So when this actually comes out, we will have closed on a house. as of recording, tomorrow is when we close on the house. And then, yeah, we're going to be doing moving. So to be determined on whether or not we'll be off next week. It's going to depend on how much stuff I get set up and if I know off the top of my head, like, where all the podcasting equipment is. We do, like, already have, obviously, the internet scheduled to come and be hooked up, like, pronto tonto, so that we won't, that won't be
pronto
an issue.
Pronto tonto. Pronto so, ronto wrap.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's just say that you're going to put your stuff in a specific box for the podcasting, and let's just go ahead and say we'll do an episode next week, even if it's, it might not be an actual episode. It might be like a prediction update. We'll put something out next week. Let's commit to that. This way, we won't commit to an episode. We'll do it. Hooray! And I'll get to see the new house from your video here. But
yeah,
Kelsey, what should the listeners do when they hit that 5-minute and 6-second mark of the Grey's Academy podcast?
Make sure you're subscribed. If you could leave a rating or a review or both, that would be very, very helpful to both of us. And if you don't mind to share us, to tell your friends, tell your family, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We just want more people to know about us, guys. And we just really appreciate it when you tell your friends.
Yeah. And I want to take a quick second to shout out Sweden for being number 3 in streams over the last week. So Sweden, first time cracking the top 3. They've shown up in the top 10 a couple of times. Do want to make sure I also shout out Belgium and Brazil for being in the top 10, one of the non-regulars, and a rare occurrence from Denmark. So to our listeners out there, really appreciate you. Really appreciate all the streams. And with that, we will jump into the episode.
Yes, we will. This episode is episode number 19 of the third season, the 55th episode overall. And it is called My Favorite Mistake, which is a song.
It is a song. My Favorite Mistake is a song by the beloved Sheryl Crow. This song was the...
I sound just like her.
I actually, for a second, if I closed my eyes, I thought I was doing a podcast with the Sheryl Crow. Or to her very close friends, Sheryl Crow. But My Favorite Mistake was a single from her third album, The Globe Sessions, released on August 31st, 1998, under the guise of A&M Records. This song is written about a man who proves to be unfaithful. And this song, fun fact, is widely thought to have been about Eric Clapton.
Oh. Yeah.
So very scandalous. The drama mean. Eric Clapton, for those of you who don't know, is a very prominent guitar player. He was born in 1945, so a little bit older than Sheryl Crow.
And was apparently a cheater.
Yeah, but he's one of the, listed on Rolling Stones, one of the 100 greatest guitarists of all time, and it's worth noting that. This song charted as high as number 20 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It reached number 1 on the U.S. Adult Alternative Songs, and it reached as high as number 2 in Canada. So shout out Canada. This song, when I was listening to it the first time, I realized that I had heard this one before. So this is, I think, a pretty popular song. It's definitely a radio song from Sheryl Crow. I'm not a gigantic Sheryl Crow fan per se, but I definitely appreciate her music. But the chorus that repeats itself in My Favorite Mistake here is, "Did you know when you go it's the perfect ending?" To the bad day I was just beginning. When you go, all I know is you're my favorite mistake. Before watching this episode, my knee-jerk reaction was this was Izzy's love song to George. You're my favorite mistake. So yeah, that's what I got for you guys. It's not one that I downloaded, but it was a good song. I can appreciate it. And Kelsey, back to you.
Thank you so much, Carmen. It's got some
early
2000 vibes for sure.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this episode was written by Chris Van Dusen, directed by Tamara Davis, and it aired March 22nd, 2007, and it had 22.3 million views. Now, the Netflix synopsis is as follows. Oh, God, Cocoa Melon, what a nightmare.
What?
Like, on the, like, I just opened the Netflix homepage to read the synopsis. I don't, like, open the episode or anything. And so it's just sitting on top of, like, a big picture of Cocoa Melon, which, what a nightmare. Okay. So George meets his father-in-law. Alex helps Jane Doe determine how the world will see her, and Izzy wrestles with a startling revelation.
Also, leaders of the hospital quarrel over their 10-year plan.
Also, I wouldn't say that it's like a revelation. Like, Izzy knows what happened. She's upset because George doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. Can I also, so I just want to say, really great episode for guest stars. My gosh.
Right? I told you there were good guest stars on this show.
So, spoiler alert, is that the bodyguard for yes. Princess Genovia?
Yes.
Princess, Princess, what's her name? Genevieve? Mia Thermopolis? Popolis?
Mionette Thermopolis. Amelia?
Yeah.
Mionette Thermopolis. Princess of Genovia.
Genovia. There's another big cameo in here that I'm not going to spoil, but I didn't actually recognize her until like 16 minutes in.
Yeah.
But
she looks very different.
She looks very different. And then there's a guest star from Scrubs in here as well. So we'll get to that later on. And maybe there'll be some living in Shondaland. Who knows? I assume that I'm not going to get duped 2 weeks in a row to a fake living in Shondaland again. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, so let's start with the recap. We last week on Grey's Anatomy, or previously on Grey's Anatomy,
Meredith.
Jane Doe is there. Colin Marlowe is there. Izzy and George fucked.
They fucked.
So we start the episode with Izzy waking up next to George. He's passed out so hard, passed out, assed out. And she's like mortified. She's sneaking around trying to get her stuff, not wake him up. She sneaks out of the room, goes downstairs in the kitchen. Christina and Meredith are like, oh my God, you and George were so loud. Like, why were you singing so loud? And she's like, big wide-eyed, like, who knows what, you know, she doesn't know if anyone knows that they fucked or any of that business.
I'll tell you, there was a split second in that conversation where I was like, did they not fuck? Did they just sleep in the same bed and they were just loud singing? Because there is no way that you could sing music that loud in that house and then not get caught banging.
I mean, maybe they bang silently.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. But also, if they were that loud, you think someone would have just come in and like knocked on the door and be like, hey, guys. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, my gosh, you're naked.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Oh, hey, George, just wanted to remind you that you're married real quick.
Yeah. Fun fact. You're married.
So they're talking. Alex comes down, says George is puking in the bathroom. And Meredith's like, oh, he's still here. And Izzy's like, yeah, he was just so drunk, he couldn't drive. Don't drink and drive. Again, she acts very weird for a lot of this episode.
Yeah.
She's in a weird
She does
place.
This thing, though, where she overcorrects.
Yes.
Where it's like, I thought that they were going to find out in this episode. My initial thought was, oh, she's going to do that thing all episode where she overcorrects and they're going to find out. But she didn't. I mean, she did, but they didn't find out.
Yeah. No one cares enough about Izzy's life to pay attention. Sorry.
I do.
I guess I should say it's not that no one cares. It's that all of these people are so wildly selfish that they're not paying attention.
There you go. Except Alex, just as like Alex weirdly is, like, not selfish
doing
anymore.
So good right now. Right? Yeah. Don't we just love him right now? He is like I being do. Such a precious angel baby.
Cherish it while we still can, everyone, know, because right? I'm sure there's a terrible arc coming soon. Although I just finished rewatching Ted Lasso. There's never going to be another villain character arc like Nate going from it's incredible wild. To just a piece of shit.
I was actually another podcast I was listening to was talking about Ted Lasso, and they made a good point. Obviously, I love Ted Lasso. Like, it's such a good show. I watched all of it so fast. But they were like, yeah, Ted Lasso is a really good show and it makes you feel really happy. But like, it doesn't make you want to watch the next episode because everything is always resolved.
Nope. For the what? Most part.
Like, for the most part, at the end of every episode, like, the problem is solved.
Not really.
They were talking exclusively about the first season. Now, it's hard for me because I watched all of it so quickly to know where the first season even ends. I don't really
remember. The first season ended with they had gotten relegated, and it ended with Rebecca telling Ted about the whole plan.
No, that was before the end of the first season.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yes. Because I remember Michael like stopped watching. He was like, I can't watch this anymore because I don't like that she's lying to him about the plan. And then I was like, fine, I'm going to watch it without you. And like an episode later, she told him, and it was not the end of the first season yet.
Okay. Well, anyways, either way,
that'll be on our Ted Lasso podcast.
Yeah. Coming soon to a Patreon near you.
Such a good TV show. Okay. So, Christina is saying that she's just not going to marry Burke. Like, that's her solution. She's just like, I'll just stop. No, I just won't marry him. And everyone will be fine. I'm going to go back the way things were. Be kind. Rewind. My plan has a name. Blockbuster.
It's funny to think that, like, yeah, Blockbuster was still around at this point.
It's true.
People were still using VHSs. Ugh, gosh.
George comes downstairs and we learn pretty quickly that he does not remember having sex with Izzy. He doesn't even know that she slept in the room with him. So that's fun for Izzy to deal with. At the hospital, the attendings all have their interviews with the board for Chief today. So Marlo's there and he tells, Richard that he has a 10-year plan for the hospital. Changes he's going to make over the next 10 years to make the hospital a better version of itself.
It was at this moment I was a little bit confused because it seemed like Weber brought Marlo in. And in this moment, it seemed like Weber doesn't actually even like the fact that Marlo wants. I mean, granted, this is his baby, right? Like he's handing it off. But why bring in a quote unquote ringer if you're going to hate that they have plans? I was a little bit confused by
that. Yeah, I think it was more of like what you're saying. Like he brought them in and then kind of it was like the reality of it hit him of like, oh, wait, I'm not going to be the chief anymore. So someone who is going to be the chief is going to come with the intent to change things. So that
makes sense.
My take on it. George is still super hungover. So Callie finds him and she's basically like, I don't care that we're fighting. We're going to pretend like we're not fighting anymore. And we're just going to be a perfect couple because my dad's here and you're going to meet my dad. So that's what a fun time to meet him.
Oh yeah. As soon as she said, we don't have problems. Everything's perfect now. You need to act like it. And I was like, oh, her parents are for sure in town. This is great. I love it. Chaos. Yeah. Thy name is Callie.
Chaos reigns. Funny. Oh yeah, she goes, I wrote this funny little smelly little man.
Yeah, I wrote that too. She's like, go get in the shower.
Yes. So Christina takes Burke a coffee and she's like, we used to do this. And he's like, yeah. And then you moved in and we started drinking coffee in our home together. And I'm not really interested in moving backwards. Thank you so much. And goodbye. So her plan's going really well. So that's good.
I'm on Team Burke for this, though.
I'm on Team Burke, but I'm also, well, I'm not, it's kind of hard to say because, again, Christina's not doing a good job communicating. Like, she has these thoughts and feelings and fears, and she's not explaining them to him. And she's like, I'm just going to make things go backwards and I will have fixed everything. But again, the main plot, I think one of the main forces that drives plot in this show is the fact that no one communicates, which, like, obviously if everyone just said what they felt, it would be probably less interesting to watch because there wouldn't be nearly as much conflict. Sometimes it's frustrating, but by the same token, it's also what makes it entertaining. So
yeah,
I don't know.
The thing that I really enjoy is I enjoy honest conflict because then, like, they just fight.
You want screaming matches?
I just want screaming matches. That's all I want.
Yeah. Okay, so Marlo goes and wishes the other attendings good luck. Richard tells them that Marlo has a 10-year plan. Then we're with Jane Doe, and Mark is showing her all of her face options for the reconstructive surgery, and she's, like, really overwhelmed by the surgery and the options, and she doesn't want to pick the wrong face and then have someone show up looking for her but not look like her, and she still can't remember, so it's a very overwhelming, obviously.
Understandably so.
Yeah, for sure. Richard runs into the interns and asks Meredith how she's doing. Sloane sees this interaction and offers Meredith a chance to be in the facial reconstruction surgery doing, like, getting a bone. I'm not really sure. She's somehow harvesting a bone, an orbital bone, maybe, was what she was doing. Yeah, I think
that's what it is.
And apparently that's very tricky. So that's, like, a big deal.
Before we move on to the end of this scene, I do want to just backtrack a quick minute to that scene with Jane Doe and Mark, Addison, Meredith, and Alex. Because Mark is having this moment where he's walking through the surgery, and she's like, well, what does that mean? And then she looks directly at Alex, and she's like, listen, just tell me straight. Yeah. And Alex is like, well, they're going to cut right at your hairline and then literally rip your fucking face off, your skull.
Yes.
Yeah, like, literally, minus the fucking. But there's this cute little interaction that I think was just very nuanced where he's like, yeah, it's going to be okay, mostly because I'm that good. And this is Mark talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Addison's like, yeah, it's true. It's annoying, but it's true. And I wanted to make a little shout out on that because I am rooting for the Mark and Addison experiment to come to fruition and bang. That doesn't mean that I'm not rooting for Alex and Addison. So just to be clear. Interesting.
So are you rooting for polygamy?
I'm rooting for
a throuple.
No, I'm rooting for Addison because she deserves to be happy. And if it's happy with Mark, fine. If it's happy with Alex, fine. She just deserves happiness. That's all.
It's true. I agree. I agree with you. So then Callie is taking the interns to meet her patient. And before they go in, she kind of stops and warns them and is like, okay, this is the disease FOP. Christina says what it is. I don't know. I'm not going to try and repeat it because I don't know what it is. But essentially this woman, like, her muscles turn into bone, or she, like, just gets bone growths where there aren't supposed to be bones, which is obviously problematic. Bless you. Multiple
thank you.
Times.
Also, I pulled it up. It's fibrodysplasia ossificans progressiva.
Yeah, so that's why I wasn't going to try and pronounce it.
A rare musculoskeletal condition where after birth and progressively through life, muscles and tendons are gradually transformed into bone.
Yeah, so not what you want. Not what your body's supposed to be doing. So they go in to meet her, and her daughter is with her, and she came in because... Is this right? Yeah, she came in because she was having stomach issues and vomiting blood. But the daughter is, like, immediately very wary, and she's like, if you're an intern, don't come near her, because if, like, you do anything wrong, then she's going to get a new growth, and we don't have, like, any room for new growths. So she's just, like, very protective / controlling. Understandable, but probably frustrating for the medical staff.
The way they made it sound in that scene, though, too, was that she, her bones or the muscles churn to bone if she gets like handled too hard, or if like she gets bumped, or like it's an injury related thing. But it doesn't look like that's actually the case from what I'm reading on this. But also, excuse me, this was a scene where I recognized the blonde girl, but I didn't truly recognize where she was yet. Yeah. But I'll tell you where she's from.
Please
when
do.
We get to the scene where I recognize
her. Well, you figured
her.
It out.
Okay. Yeah.
So they brought a dollhouse, and Callie asks about it, and they're like, oh, did you make that? And the daughter, Nina, is like, yes, my mom made it. And the mom's like, no, Nina made it. So this is like basically something they do together to keep her mom active and keep her from basically just sitting around being it still, even though she doesn't have a lot of options in her movement. So it's something they can do together.
It's just her face and her hands, I think.
Yeah.
And not like her wrists or arms, straight
like
up just her hands.
Literally just her hands, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, what
it's
a terrible existence. Yeah.
Okay, so they leave. Izzy asks Bailey if she can go down to the clinic because she doesn't want to be near George or Callie. And Christina's like, oh, what's going on in the clinic? I want to go to the clinic. And Izzy's like, nothing. I just want to go to the clinic. Like, why are you annoying? And so Bailey initially sends Izzy and Christina to the clinic. And then Alex goes to help Addison with Jane Doe. George is with Callie, but Callie is like, you are too fucking hungover to be a helpful human being. So she asks for a second intern, and Bailey keeps Izzy from going to the clinic and tells her to stay behind with the O'Malleys, which is so fun. And then we get the title card at 10 minutes and 30 seconds,
which is a late title card.
I was
and also
the same thing,
like some of the least drama we've gotten in a title card in a while.
Yeah.
It's just George looking like absolute shit.
Yeah.
And Izzy has to hang out with the O'Malleys.
Yeah.
That's the extent of the drama. There's no Meredith falling into the ocean or Elliot Bay. There's no anything. It's just that. So disappointing. Disappointing opening card or title card.
Yeah. So they're in the clinic. Construction worker. I assume it's like a foreman type position. He's in charge of other people. He's there and he's telling Christina, oh, my foot hurts. So, like, can I have some painkillers? And she's like, yeah, let me see your foot. And he's like, no, no, just let me have some painkillers. And she's like, oh, did you go to medical school? Take off your shoe. So he does. And unfortunately, he has a very aggressive infection on the bottom of his foot. And
it was at that moment. Yeah, not good. It was at that moment that I was like, he's definitely going to lose his foot. Knowing he's diabetic and knowing that there's an infection down there, it's gone. It's bye-bye foot time. But for any of you who are listening who also watched Scrubs, he plays a friend of Dr. Cox. He's a businessman, and Dr. Cox and him went to school together. Went different ways. They knew each other and all that. And they have kids at the same time. And it turns out that his son in the episode of Scrubs is autistic. And Dr. Cox diagnoses it and walks him through it. Mm-hmm. It's a very emotional episode. But I recognized him right away. I think his name is Ron in the episode of Scrubs. So for any of you wondering where you recognize him and you've watched Scrubs, that's the episode. And there you go.
Thank you so much. Meredith and Alex are with Jane Doe, and she still doesn't know what face to go with. Meredith is studying for this procedure in the surgery, and Derek comes in to bother her because that's what he is good at.
Like a piece of shit. What a fucking...
He's annoying.
Uncomfortable scene.
I really do like when he is asking like how she's doing, and I like that he says, how is bad is it on a scale of 1 to 10. I do like that they've clearly discussed it prior, and it's a nice easy way basically for her to be like, oh, I'm having a hard day, without having to say it, because clearly she has issues communicating her feelings. So I do kind of think that that's nice, that it seems like that has been dealt with off screen, but still at some point was a conversation that occurred, which I think is nice. But I find Derek to be annoying.
Yes. Also, thank you for giving some insight to that, because I was like, what is this for? Like sadness, pain? Like what?
Yeah,
like,
I
what
would say this? Sadness because her mom died recently. And also, and that so makes did sense. She almost.
Well, she did die. She was dead.
That's true. She almost stayed dead.
She almost stayed dead. There we go. Yes,
she was almost permanently dead.
There was a funny scene. I like that they obviously everyone copes in different ways, but I like that they make two kind of funny dead mom quotes in this episode. And she's like, I would be so cool in the eyes of my dead mother.
Yes.
And I was like, that's kind of funny. Like, that's a little bit humorous.
Also true.
And true. Yeah.
It's like, I like that they don't really rewrite who Ellis is as a person. Like, sometimes, you know, when after people die, the people that knew them kind of maybe say nicer things about them than was the actual case. And then they really don't in this. Like, that's not what they do. Meredith's like, no, this is still who she was. She was still like not the best mom, but like she was a great surgeon.
And she would be super stoked about me doing this orbital bone graft situation. Yeah.
So also when she tells Derek that she's doing it, you can immediately see that he's like, why would you be doing that? I hate this.
Exactly.
I do not approve of this. And that's all that matters. So he's obviously like having feelings, but she tells him that it's a big deal and she needs to work on it. So he leaves. And so then we go see George being really dumb and stupid and not remembering what happened. And Izzy is being very upset that he doesn't remember what happened because they had sex, and she's distraught.
And she clearly loves this motherfucker.
What a dumb lady.
Should we remind her that literally 2 episodes ago, she was touching dead Denny in a hallway? Ghost Denny was touching her in a hallway. This is cheating, Izzy. This is cheating. For both of you. For you and George.
Actually, for George.
Yeah, more so for George. Cheating on a dead person, I guess, is not really cheating.
Yes, because you have to move on at some point.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
Your life will just be sad. I mean, you don't have to. You know, do whatever you want. But, yes. So, Marlo tells Christina that he is proposing an expansion of the hospital, and she's like... He's asking about the wedding and he's like, oh, are you getting cold feet? And she's like, no, I just think I want you to leave. And he's like, well, if you don't want to marry him, you have to tell him because he should wait and like not pressure you and just wait until you're ready and all this stuff. And it's just dumb. And he's being nosy and giving advice where his advice is not needed.
Yeah. Super antagonistic in this scene. And like, for no reason other than spite. Is my interpreted emotion that I think he's feeling.
Yeah. He's just bitter that she said yes to someone else. Addison is practicing her presentation for the board. Mark comes in and tells her not to stress. And it's another cute scene between the two of them. He's like, don't wear the glasses because you fiddle with them and it makes you look like you're not focused, but you are. And all this stuff. And then they walk around and talk about him not sleeping with anybody, basically. And she's still worth it. You know, she's an angel.
It is. It was. So this also coming from like a leadership perspective. When I ask people what their weaknesses are, it's like the most important interview question because you have to be aware of your weaknesses for me.
Yeah.
So it's funny that Addison's like, she doesn't have an answer and she's serious. And Mark probably has a lot of answers, but instead he's like, oh, I'm an easy mark for evil redheads.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. It's just another cute scene for them.
So obviously the whole thing with like, oh, tell me your weakness is you have to like say something bad about yourself, but like somehow make it out to be a good thing or take a good thing and make it sound like it's somehow a bad thing.
Yeah.
So what do you say on yours? Like, what do you say your weakness is?
So... I actually talk about usually two things. I'll say one that I'm really working on is my punctuality.
Are you working on that?
I am working on my punctuality.
I'm proud of you then.
I do. I am punctual more often than not now. That's good. In the professional environment. But the other thing that I do want to be honest because I'm not punctual. But I also talk about my patience and not from like from an anger standpoint. I think I've had to, especially coming from Disney and getting reacquainted to like the outside retail world. Yeah. I need to not expect that the people that I'm working with are going to be Disney quality people.
Yeah.
And I need to give people that patience to either allow myself to reantiquate with it or allow myself to get them to that point. So that's something that I actually have had to talk about in a couple of interviews that I've been doing recently. But that's something I think it's you have to be able to acknowledge your weaknesses because you have to show your thought process of how you overcome them, right? But
yeah.
Anyways, that's what I would say. And in a more eloquent way, I wasn't expecting to have to talk about interview questions here.
I wasn't going to ask you. You brought it up and I was like, I'm going to ask him what it is. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
Punctuality, though. That's my, for anyone out there listening, my Achilles heel 1000% is my punctuality.
Carmen like, that's does the not give a shit about being on time.
I just really don't.
It's not hard. It's not like you're, I don't know. Yeah. It's not like you're trying to be on time and you're doing a bad job. It's not like you have poor time management. It's like, you're like, that's fine. I just won't be on time.
Yeah. What's going to happen? What's the worst that can happen? If I was meant to be on time. Okay. But have I ever been late for anything that you've needed?
Yes. You are constantly late for this podcast.
What happened in the next scene? I didn't expect that you were going to go like so savage right for the fucking jugular. My gosh. Yeah, I'm the one who shows up late and then you spend 30 minutes talking about, oh, I'm moving. Oh, my babies. Oh,
you
we have
about
to
put your baby too.
Fuck you.
Yeah, so this is what happens. Carmen's late, but at this point I know to expect it, so I don't really get that mad anymore. Unless there's like extenuating circumstances. And so I just like whatever time he tells me, I just know to like add extra time to it. And then by the time he shows up, I'm like, well, now we have things to talk about. So like then we just spend too much time catching up. And then we're like, wow, why does it take us 3 hours to record an hour and a half long podcast?
Well, because I'm late for the first 10 minutes and then we bullshit for the next 40 minutes.
Yep.
And then we bullshit for 20 minutes after we're done.
That tracks.
Anyways, fuck.
Punctuality. It's not easy for everybody. Everybody has weaknesses, though. It's fine. Yeah.
Unless you're Addison, apparently.
Yes, Addison has no weaknesses. Anyways, so yes, next time. Callie's patient has really bad internal bleeding, which obviously is problematic because they cannot do surgery on her. So Dr. Burke suggests that they basically do a catheter like up into her to kind of alleviate the internal bleeding and fix it that way. So at this point, the woman is like, so what if I don't? And they tell her, well, you'll bleed out and die. And she goes, okay. And like, would that hurt? Because I'm sick of this shit, basically,
right,
is what she says.
Yeah.
And her daughter obviously does not like this train of thought, which is understandable. As someone's child, you wouldn't necessarily want that. But the mom is kind of at a place where I feel like when you get this diagnosis and you learn about it, she says most people don't live past 45. She's 41. So she's getting to the end. She only has use of her face and hands, you know, like it's at this point for her, I feel like it's a quality of life call. In addition to as a parent, I would think about being a burden on your child. I don't mean that in like a bad way, just like, cause I don't think her daughter like resents her for taking care of her, but clearly she like the way she lives her life is maybe not, you know, the way she would if she wasn't constantly trying to take care of her mom. And it's just like made her a very tense, uptight person.
Speaking of being a tense, uptight person, this is the scene where I recognized the daughter as the main character in the dystopian political future America, depending on who wins the next presidency, Handmaid's Tale. See, I said that very vague, so you guys don't know what my political affiliation is. I didn't want to alien any of our listeners.
If I've never actually watched Handmaid's Tale, but I did read the book, and I do really like the book. Now, obviously, the book is not that long, and the show is 5 seasons long. So I feel like what's covered in the book probably only happens in like maybe the first season, and then obviously beyond that, they kind of just go off of that same dystopian landscape that's depicted. I know Elizabeth Moss is in it, and also Alexis Bledel is in it. But I hear it's great. But if you haven't read the book, I also highly recommend the book because it's also great and will give you a lot to think about.
I did not watch the show per se. I was in the room when Jessica watched episodes, and mm-hmm. I would go, "This shit is so sad. What the fuck? Why are you upsetting. Watching it?" There was spoiler alert. So if you want to listen to spoilers about Handmaid's Tale, don't listen. But there was one episode where like just the dude was just some guy with a beard was just banging her, and it was clearly not wanted. And he had to like stop, and he was like jacking himself off, and he's like, "I can't do this shit. What the fuck?" And I was like, "Okay, I don't understand anything that's happening here, but this doesn't seem right."
So essentially, in the dystopian future in Handmaid's Tale, again, this is based on the book, so I'm assuming it's similar in the show. I don't know. I haven't seen the show. Men own women, like they have a wife, but then the wife and the husband like would own a woman. And instead of the wife getting pregnant and carrying a child, the man would get the handmaid pregnant. But then she would give birth and give them the child, and they just like act like it's their child, like to the point of when the woman is giving birth, like the wife is sitting behind her, like almost acting as though she is the one giving birth. It's super weird. It's very bizarre, like sex slave themes, and it's very unsettling. But I think in the show the ownership kind of goes beyond that and the relationships go beyond that, but it's just unsettling and I hate it. So yeah,
and it all stems from like a super ultra right wing government takes over. Mm-hmm. Right, then they basically change all the laws.
Women can do absolutely nothing. Yeah, like only men can work and own property, and like obviously, like if a man marries you and he like does well, whatever, and you're his wife, but it's you don't. And they I don't know in the show, but in the books, your name is of and then whoever owns you. So like if you owned a woman, her name would be of Carmen.
This doesn't sound too bad, actually.
Carmen.
I'm kidding. Everyone knows pro women's rights, pro equality, pro same sex marriages, pro trans rights. So if that doesn't tell you which people that I hope, is the next president, you know, just take it with a grain of salt, everyone.
Okay. Anyways. Elizabeth.
Are you paying attention to the? Are you paying attention to the Georgia Senate runoff?
It's going really well. Herschel is. Did you see Herschel Walker did an interview and he was trying to say the upcoming election, and he said the upcoming erection.
Incredible. I did not see that. Gosh, what a fucking joke.
Yeah. It's good times.
This isn't a political podcast. This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. Fuck, I can't even speak.
I love football, but I don't know that someone who most of their experience is football is who I want to be leading anything.
Would you vote for Peyton Manning?
Probably. I mean, for like a mayor position, sure.
What if he ran as a Democratic Senate seat in Tennessee?
Here's the thing. I think he would get the nomination because he's Peyton Manning. However, I also feel like probably before getting the nomination, there would maybe be someone who would maybe be a touch more qualified.
Yeah.
I love him, though. I do love him. He's a great personality to represent brands or things like that. But I don't know that he should be writing laws.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's how I feel.
And that has been the 43-minute political intervention from the Grey's Academy podcast team. Carmen
Sometimes
and Kelsey.
We're really just going off the rails. Okay, so Mark is talking to Derek about the board interviews, and Derek is mad at him for asking Meredith to help at the surgery. And he's like, if she's not ready to do it, the surgery goes poorly, I will hurt you. So that's a fun thing. So are they back to being friends yet? Who's to say? They're at least communicating now. Derek can now at least be in the same room with him to threaten
him. Yes. I'm sure he didn't walk into the room because it started with Mark mocking Burke for his PowerPoint presentation. He's like, what? Yeah. That'd be a great idea if it was 1998, which is hilarious. Like, it's just a low key funny comment.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do think that there's some sort of friendship rekindling there. But I think Derek is also in the headspace of like, whatever our past is, Meredith is my present. So like, just don't fucking hurt her and we're fine.
Yeah. So then Izzy tells Addison about the sex, but doesn't tell her that it was George. And she says she asks Addison what she should do. And Addison's like, you should stop. And Izzy's like, what if it's part of God's plan? And Addison says, God wants you to be an adulterer.
Savage.
And Izzy says, so God funny. Got a virgin pregnant with magic, so God isn't playing by the rules. Also, I like
justification, Izzy. Good justification.
I was confused because Izzy says, like, oh, I had sex with someone, but it was the wrong someone, but it felt right, blah, blah, blah. But she never says it's George, and she never says the person's married, unless I just completely missed her saying that. And then
no,
Addison
she didn't.
Immediately is like, am I just the go-to person for adultery? How does she know it's adultery? That was very confusing to me.
I think she just read between the lines of Izzy saying it was wrong, but it felt right.
Yeah.
I think she's just smart and just reading between the lines.
She is perfect and has no weaknesses.
Because you got to think, in this moment, Addison probably thinks there's only two people that she could have sex with. Or let's say there's four people that she could have sex with, realistically. Burke, Derek, Alex, George. Okay?
Mark.
Okay, fine. Five. Yes. Thank you. I forgot about Mark. And also, if we're going to be fair, Weber. Okay? So anyways, Weber... No, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Mark is on a no sex challenge to be with Addison. And I love Katherine Heigl, but Addison is an upgrade over Izzy right now. Derek is madly in love with Meredith and literally cheated on his wife for her after they said they were trying to get back together. So like, no. Alex is like on Addison's balls right now. That only leaves George, who's married. So, like, I think she's just putting all of the facts together in her head real time. And process of elimination, it's going to lead to someone who's in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, okay, so the clinic patient is on his phone and Christina goes to talk to him. And she's like, so we're going to have to amputate your foot. Not so much with the bedside manner right now.
No, like zero, literally zero.
Yeah, so, and we've had moments where she has good bedside manner. Like, we've seen it in the past, so I don't really understand what her deal is in this. I mean, I know she's upset about Burke. I don't know if we're supposed to assume that that is affecting her day-to-day activity. I don't really understand. It's just, like, a bit aggressive. I mean, because it's a foot amputation, like, that's a big deal. And she just comes in really hot with it. And he's like, no, that's not, we have to do something else. And she's like, well, if you had come in a month ago, we could have done something else. And he's like, please just try anything else. Like, I made a mistake. I just like, get me the month back. And she kind of feels for him. So she's like, okay, so she's going to look for another option.
I also couldn't tell if this was just, if the 1 month meant nothing or if the 1 month was a commentary on capitalist America that doesn't provide time off for their people or a failing healthcare system where maybe they couldn't afford to go see a doctor.
I would say it's a combination between the two of like poor time, poor time management stemming from capitalism forcing you to need to work all the time to be able to do what you need to get done, and also garbage healthcare, that where you think like, oh, I'm going to go and it's going to be a whole day of missed work, so I can't go in and I don't want to deal with whatever. I mean, it's a free clinic, so we can't be like, oh, you know, it's too expensive. But yeah, I would say it's a combination of those two things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Meredith is practicing still and Derek is bothering her again. And he's like, I talked to Mark. I don't think you should do it. He's using your dead mom to score points and like look good for the chief. And she's like, well, why don't you think I can do it? He's like, well, you know, it's an inadverted insult, basically. Yeah. 'Cause like, it doesn't, if you think she can do it, then it doesn't matter what Mark's motivation is, 'cause she'll be fine. But if you fully believe she's not capable, then it's going to be a problem because now she's going to look bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not. I'm like, does he just not realize that he's being a dick? I don't understand.
I actually didn't think Mark was in the wrong for any of this.
Yeah, Mark's not doing anything wrong. And
he asked Meredith a question in rounds, yeah, and she answered it. And he said, okay, great job. You got the question right. You're doing the surgery. Okay. Yeah.
Cool, we're gonna do it's that not thing like you she came got here it. To do and learn.
Yeah, it's not like if she would have gotten it wrong and then he's like, that's okay.
Your mom,
I'm gonna
just
reward
died.
You for getting that wrong. Yeah, exactly. I think it would be different if she got it wrong, but she got it right. She fucking knew her shit.
Yeah. And then she literally spends the whole episode practicing. Like, her head is in the right place for work. She knows what she needs to do and she's getting ready to do it for the surgery. Like, it's fine. So yeah, she tells Derek to leave. Also, my new favorite way to tell people to leave is close the door on your way out.
Savage. It's so good.
Yeah, I like that. Mark chases down Bailey and she's like, basically asking for her opinion for his own 10-year plan. And this is when she's like, oh, I don't have a 10-year plan. I have a right now plan because I got shit I got to go do and you're fucking in my way.
Good on Mark, though, actually asking for other people's insight.
I mean, like, here's the thing. Bailey, like, of yes, all people. It is. If he was going to, if that's, it's hard to say that that's what he's doing or if he's actually just being lazy and he's truly just going to like mimic everything that she tells him and like parrot it back to the board. Now, what he ends up doing is not that, because he takes this right now plan, which clearly, like, would the way Bailey said it is not anything you can present to the board and be like, now give me a job. So he clearly like fleshed it out and made it his own, but he did take that inspiration from her.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agree. I liked it though. I thought it was overall the ending of that, obviously, you know, we know how that episode ends, but I don't know. I think asking the people on the ground and the people who are in the weeds is always a good idea.
The frontline people who probably need the most focus and most time, or like they know where you need to focus the energy to make the impactful changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Izzy asks Meredith about blackouts when drinking, and Meredith, being selfish, says, I'm not drinking, I'm fine. And Izzy's like, cool, not talking about you, just curious as to what happens. And so she's like, yeah, it happened once or twice. And then Alex pipes in with, oh, if you don't remember something, it's because you don't want to remember it. Which probably isn't wrong.
I've never been blacked out, so
same.
I genuinely was also like, oh, are they real? Like, can you black out? Like,
oh yeah, for sure. For sure. That's a real thing that happens to people. Like, yes, I've not experienced it, but I know a lot of people who have definitely experienced it. Have you never had to tell someone what they did when they were drinking?
No.
Oh, it's for sure a thing.
The most drunk I've ever been, like the four out of like my top five or six times have been with this group of friends from Florida. So like No, I don't really have. And the other time, well, no, I should say.
Not like this.
But that one, the night before, that was not with you guys, though. That was with Michael.
I'm just recalling that, that time.
But even that night, I was not blacked out because, thankfully, my good friend Josh, who doesn't listen to this podcast, so I'm shouting him out anyways, forced me to learn how to make myself vomit and got it all out, which helped me because one of the other drunk times was celebrating Mark and Leah, and I was outside with our good friend Ryan for a little bit and Michael for a little bit. Where I'm just sitting there, hand on the wall.
They're like, puking. You can do it, Carmen.
You got this.
Oh, we have a good goodness. a good dynamic. I want you to know friend group.
So that strange. if we come down there for Scarlett's birthday party, you better be ready to get drunk.
Probably won't even know where my shot glasses are.
I'll bring them. I'll bring some.
Okay, so... go away, keyboard. Christina actually does feel bad for the foot guy, but it's because she also wants to turn back time and undo her boo-boos that have caused her issues. But she's having trouble finding a solution for him. Izzy asks Alex about Jane Doe, and she's like, wouldn't it be cool to just like start all over again? Just like pick, just disappear and start over. I'm like, would it? I mean, if you're a criminal or an adulterer, I guess.
If you got good memories, you really don't want to start over.
Yeah. It would maybe be cool to pick a new face, though. Do you ever just think about, like, what if you just, like, had a different face?
No.
But, like,
I think
you're saying, but then, because then you could, like, go up to people who, like, you know, but, like, they don't know that it's you. And be like, boo.
No. I think I've grown fond of my face.
Yeah, you do like your face.
Now I do.
Big dumb face.
Yesterday, if you would have asked me this yesterday, I would have said, yeah, give me a new face. But overnight, something changed. And I just, I'm just fond clicked. Of it now.
It's good now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Alex goes to see Jane Doe and she's freaking out. He sits with her. This is just such a good good guy, Alex. You know what I mean? Like, he goes through all of them. He gives them backstories. He's like, this one coaches her kid's soccer team. This one is like an activist. And then this one is like just so funny and smart. And like, she just loves everybody and everybody loves her. It's just such a nice thing he did for like, I mean, he did not have to do that. He just did it to help her pick and to help calm her down.
He owes her nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, she owes him everything.
Yeah.
And every possible chance that Alex has, he's there and just being a good fucking guy.
Yeah. And a good doctor. So George and Callie are at lunch with her dad at Joe's. And George's dad is super pissed that they eloped. And apparently so is her mom. I mean, sorry, Callie's dad. Sorry, George's dad is dead. Callie's dad and mom are mad that they eloped. And so then George's dad accuses Callie of being pregnant, then accuses George of being a gold digger. And George is like, well, I didn't even know she had the money. And he's like, cool, so you won't mind to sign this post-nuptial. And, then he pulls it out and knocks drinks onto George. And while George is like cleaning himself up, that's when he has the memory. Like, he remembers what happened last night, right? He has like the sex flashbacks.
And it seemed passionate.
It was spicy.
It was like hot.
It did not look sloppy drunk. It did not look sloppy drunk.
It looked like they got drunk after the fact, honestly.
Yeah. So then George stands up and tells Callie's dad that they're not going to be accepting anything. And then he's like, nope, the answer's no, and just leaves. And Callie is obviously confused, but also like proud of George and like happy that he did it. So, we're going to take a small break for everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland. Boo, boo, boo.
Nice. We have one person today.
Ooh. Okay, all right. Man or woman?
Woman.
I am going to guess it is Stone Body Girl.
Yes.
Yes, I nailed it. I am a living in Shondaland god.
Okay. So Catherine Dent, who played Kathy Rogerson, was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
Ooh, what season?
I don't know.
Can you look that up real quick? I'm watching this show now.
I understand that you're watching this show now. And I'm happy about it. I just didn't know that now I have to tell you all the things.
No. Just for How to Get Away with Murder.
Just this one thing.
Just this one thing forever, for every person moving forward. I need you to name the scene, the series, season number and episode number. No, I just want to know if they're in season 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay. Let's find it real quick.
I just want to know if I've met this person or not yet.
Don't think.
It is funny too. So. While she's looking for this, there are times where I've seen people from Grey's in How to Get Away with Murder, and I've texted Kelsey, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I know this person. They're from this episode." And she's like, "Yeah, it totally is. Remember that person?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do. That's great."
Oh my god. Well, IMDb on my computer is being so.
Well, then forget about it.
Move on. I see how it works. Season 6.
Okay, so I haven't seen this person yet. Okay, good.
Nerp.
Spoiler alert.
You will. Okay. And back at the hospital, George finds Izzy and is dramatic. And she's like, "Oh, you remembered." And so they
this
go in
scene
a linen
is
closet.
Good. This
is
a good scene.
It is
a
very
scene.
Good scene for having no words. I'm always so impressed when so much can be said with zero words. It's one of my favorite things in any film or television piece. I think it's very powerful.
So when I was watching this scene,
yes,
I want you to know that I thought that they were going to have sex right there. Genuinely. I thought they were going to do it again. I was like, oh. And I had to watch it all the way until it faded to black, because when he left, I thought he was going to come back in and grab her and kiss her. But it was like, there was a lot. There was a lot of, this processing. Was a mistake, but it wasn't a mistake. But like
I love you. You're my best friend, and I need you to get through this with me. But like, you're the reason that I have something to get through, and it's a problem, and I'm still married. And yeah, it's a lot. A lot.
It was
to
a
unpack.
Really, really, really good scene.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Izzy goes to draw blood from Mrs. Rogerson, and she kind of like bumps into the tray, and Nina freaks out and is like, you're not doing this. You're going to mess it up. You're going to like hurt her. I'm going to go get a nurse. So she leaves, and Izzy talks to the mom, and the mom's like, she's not even a person anymore from just taking care of me so much. And she just says, she's like, it is what it is. Basically. Like I know that I'm going to die, and like, but I don't know what to do with her. Or for her, essentially. It's sad. It is sad. Derek is working on his presentation. Richard asks him about it, and Derek's like, it doesn't even make any difference because Meredith is just going to drown. Anyways, and so that was a leap that came out of nowhere. And so, yeah, they just kind of talk back and forth about Meredith and how she's doing and what everything with her mom is going on and all that stuff. And then Derek's obviously still worried about her doing this freaking surgery. And he's like, I just sit up at night listening to her breathe. It's like, what if she just stops breathing in the middle of the night? I'm like, okay, that's like what you do for a baby.
Yeah, there's clearly some PTSD there. Like, you should talk to a therapist because you're not healed.
Yes, both of them should talk to a therapist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure, both of them would definitely have PTSD from that event. Like, 100% they would. Callie's dad finds George at the hospital, and he's like, I understand what you want to take care of her in your own way, but don't hurt her because basically I'll kill you, so... That's fun.
I'm very connected to the Genovian embassy.
Yes. So then Callie comes down and Callie's dad is like, okay, so we'll throw you a party. And Callie's like, no. And he's like, can you just, for my sanity, let your mother throw you this fucking party? And she's like, fine. And then he leaves. And Callie tells George that she's proud of him for standing up to her dad. And she's like, sorry about the fight. I wish I could take everything back. And he's like, yeah, me too.
Little does she know that within the same 24-hour period that they had a fight and he stood up to your father, he also fucked Izzy, who Izzy has been fucking you verbally for the last 6 episodes.
Yes, so... Yeah, he's like, yeah, me too. But the thing I want to take back is that whole thing where I slept with someone who hates you, who you hate right back. So that's super fun. So So she goes to surgery. She picked Ava as her new face, which obviously looks like the actress Elizabeth Reeser.
And Ava, AVA, is the unofficial logo for Angels and Airwaves, if any of you are Angels and Airwaves fans. So always a big fan of the name Ava.
Why is that for Angels and Airwaves?
The middle, the and, which is the V, is an inverted A. So it's A, V, A, and it's an inverted A. And also his first daughter's name is Ava. So
I see.
Yeah.
It all comes together.
It all comes together and we're happy that Blink-182 is back together.
Boop. What was it that they said in the announcement video?
They're coming.
Oh, they're coming. That's what it is.
I can't believe they're coming.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Meredith tells Mark she knows he's using her to score points with the chief. And he's like, that's not why I did it. Like, I watched the chief treat you basically like you can't do your job anymore, and I saw an opportunity for me to be a good teacher, but for you to get the respect back from like your peers and other people at this hospital who think you're just like this broken person now that your mom died. So like, if you want to do this, then let's go do it, and if not, then don't do it. And she's like, nah, I'll do it. So.
I did have to wonder if there's a backstory coming on Mark where he had a mentor or someone in a position of power above him that also came in and saved him to an extent like this.
Like because, what Mark is doing or like
yeah,
Derek saving Meredith from the water?
No. Mark saving Meredith from saying she looks like a beaten down puppy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something that someone else did for Mark, maybe when one of his parents died. I don't know. I got some sort of like weird, there's backstory vibes here that maybe we'll get later on down the line. And there's a reason to why he did it, but maybe it's nothing. Maybe I'm just reading too far into it, but that was my initial thought.
It is nice to see him seem to be motivated by anything other than like just sex.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's nice
I see
to,
a little bit of myself in Mark, you know,
fleshed out a little bit. It's nice to see another side of him. Christina was not able to find a solution for the foot, but is trying to like be kind and reassure him that it will be okay. She's like, they do really amazing things with prosthetics nowadays. Like, you'll be able to figure it out. Don't worry, all this stuff. So then they're going up to surgery and she sees Burke and he's waiting for his interview, and she goes to talk to him and she's like, the chief picked you originally and like just remember that. And he's like, yeah, but I'm not that person anymore. And she's like, yeah, but you're still the guy the chief picked. And he's like, but I don't want to be that person anymore. Like, I want to be better than that. I don't want to go back. I want to move forward. I want to be the best. And so yeah, it's just they're going back and forth a lot about forward progress and not moving backwards in professional and personal lives, clearly. So there's subtext on subtext on subtext,
and we love a good subtext, which is the best. The thing that I really like about that scene is, number one, I think it shows Burke's overall emotional intelligence. Because you could see that he wants to grow. Like, if we think back to even, what, half a season or so, like back when the news of his tremors had broke Christina and him up, when she told Weber, like, to see where he came from, where he was sneaking around trying to hide it, to now feeling like, because he wanted to give it up. He said, I don't even want this anymore.
Yeah.
And to see him re-arc back into, like, I want it, but I also recognize that, like, I need to earn it somehow, and I want to be a better person.
I want to be the person that deserves this job.
Yeah. And even if I did deserve it then, and I still deserve it now, I want to feel like I deserve it. And I think there's definitely a difference between deserving it and feeling like you deserve it. Those are two different things.
Yeah, they are, for sure.
I agree.
So then we get a classic graze of everyone's in surgery and things are flashing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Amazing montage, people. Yes, really great. Really great.
We love this. So we start with Mark walking Meredith through the procedure of the orbital bone or whatever it is that she's doing to the orbital bone. Excuse me. Little burpy burp, podcast burp.
I actually didn't even hear you burp. I thought you just farted.
No. I would do this.
Does that mean you just farted just now?
No, I wouldn't have told you.
Oh, okay. So now, from now on, everyone, listen to the beep sound and just know that it's Kelsey farting.
It's a toot. God, I really hate that word.
It's her shitting her pants live on a podcast.
No, it's not.
I'm waiting to move into the new house to shit my pants on the podcast.
That's how I christen the new house, is poop my pants in every room. Okay, so Dr. Burke and Callie are working on the statue. I'm so sorry. I have to cough for like an hour right now.
That's okay. You cough. Basically, it's a montage of Meredith doing the procedure, the mom with FOB, the fibromyalgia, insane, progressiva. She's about to bleed out, and they're sitting there trying to figure out what to do because the catheter situation still was not able to make it work, which, by the way, you'd think they'd have put a catheter up her urethra to her brain. Which is insane.
No, her stomach was bleeding, Carmen.
I thought it was her brain.
Her stomach was bleeding.
Wow.
She was
vomiting that is
up blood.
That is way less of an invasive procedure than I anticipated.
It was her
okay.
Tum-tum.
I thought it was her brain, and I'm like, damn, does it even go that far? Like, that's a long, because you have to go all the way up the bowels.
Wouldn't
like,
you
can
just
you
go
even do
up,
that?
Like, the nose or like Could maybe you? In
I
the
guess
neck?
That makes sense. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor today.
Anyway,
and then,
so yeah. They say, we have to open her up, and Callie's like, no, we can't open her up. She'll die. And Burke's like, well, she'll die if we don't. I'm like, well, then just do nothing. She's going to die.
Yeah. She wants this.
Thank you so much. Guys, I'm recovering from death, and the coughing fits are delightful.
And if you hear me blowing my nose in the background, I'm also getting over a sinus infection. So I'm like, a couple points I just left to blow my nose, and I brought a whole roll of toilet paper back here. So I'm like just blowing my nose every like 5 minutes. So
yeah,
apologies.
It's going super great over here, guys. Everybody,
we got this.
Everything's fine. Okay, so yes, Christina's starting the amputation. Meredith is working on the orbital bone. Derek and Richard are watching. The mom is crashing. Christina successfully amputates the foot. Meredith successfully completes her part of the surgery. They show the dollhouse. The mom is still crashing. Then she dies. Nina is holding a window and drops it and it breaks.
Also, can we just acknowledge how weird it was to watch Bailey remove a foot from that scene?
Yeah, it's and like, because when they move it, they like make a point, I feel like, so that the toes are still out.
Yeah.
It's like, look, guys, this is a foot in this wrappings.
And then they zoom into a couple of scenes later, they zoom in on two different feet scenes. And it's like any time a diabetic loses their foot, two couples grow a foot fetish. I don't know. It was like a weird angel wing.
Wait, when did they zoom in on feet?
There's later on, it's two people. I don't know who's cuddling, but they're in bed. And I think it's Derek and Meredith, and it zooms in on their feet, and then it zooms in on someone else's feet. Who was it? Who is in that? Christina and Burke. Yeah. Their feet were touching each other. That's what it was.
Okay. So the attendings are all outside the room. Mark is giving his interview and they're like, why is it going well? Like, why are they on his side? We hate this. They come out and Mark is like going to go take them to show them the new clinic. And they ask Weber how it went. And they're like, well, he's like, well, you guys could all take a turn or take a page out of Mark's book because he didn't get caught up in this 10-year bullshit. He said he had a right now plan and Dr. Bailey's there. And she's like, oh, he has a right now plan. Oh, wonder where that came from.
Hey, it's let's hope that what you want fixed gets fixed. Yeah. Bailey. Dang.
Whatever you want. Right. Whatever works. So obviously, and I've said this before, Mark knows how to play this game. Like he knows how to schmooze with the best of them for sure. Use that charm. Use that Mark Sloan charm. Mark Sloan face. It's a nice face. So
it's an okay face.
They're all upset that Mark didn't suck, basically. Nina is talking to Callie and Izzy and George, and she's like, I should have brought her in sooner. And they're like, no, you couldn't have known. And she's like, no, literally, it's my fault. It was a mistake, and I shouldn't have done it. And then Izzy is basically like, I talked to your mom and she like wants you to live a normal life and like be able to make mistakes and be able to fall and fail and get back up and continue to live just in spite of that. So, yeah, Elizabeth Moss is kind of just like sitting there blaming herself, even though her mother had an incurable disease. So
typical Handmaid's Tale. Am I right?
Just not really. So then George and Izzy are in the locker room talking and they're like, it's a mistake. It was a mistake. We should figure out. And Izzy's like, we'll figure out how we have to tell Callie. And George is like, no, I'm not going to tell her I'm not going to hurt her to make myself feel better. Which is a debate we've had before.
Yes.
And so it appears by that logic that George has no intention of leaving Callie for Izzy. They were just going to have drunkenly had sex and then they're just going to get over it. And he says I have to live with this secret.
Yeah. And the exact quote that he says is, I'm not going to clear my conscience at her expense. And that, I think, is where a lot of the debate that not just you and I have had, maybe even live on this show, but in real life outside of the podcast, it's if you commit an adulterous act, if you cheat on your spouse, your significant other, like, do you tell them? And if you do, who are you really doing it for? And I think that George really encapsulates that. Whether or not he sticks to that is a different story, because I predict that he will eventually tell Callie, but I think it's going to be in the middle of an argument, is my prediction. It's just that sums up how I feel. I'm not going to clear my conscience at their expense.
Yeah. So Christina goes to check on her patient and tells him he has to move forward and follow the plan and keep his other foot. And he's like, okay, my other foot. Okay. Alex checks on Ava and Addison comes in. And from now on, I'm going to refer to her as Ava since that's who she picked, just so you know, because I say Jane Doe. I always trip over it. So I'm going to say Ava from now on. So Addison comes in and they flirt, tells him that he's doing a good job. And Ava's like, oh, who's that? And it's like, that's my boss. She's like, what about that? What about that? And he's like, nothing. It's my boss. He's like, anyways, so yeah.
Ava wants Alexson to happen.
Alexson.
Which is what I'm now referring to as Alex and Addison. Alexson.
Not Addisex.
No. Because Alexson would never be Addisex.
Nice. Yes, she is definitely wants them to bone. Christina gets home, lays with Burke, and tells him basically wedding plans. She's like, I want it to be small, just us and Meredith and Derek, and we're not going to have a religious person. We're just going to have the justice of the peace, and we're going to do it at the courthouse. So it's a nice moment. Derek and Meredith are in bed talking about the surgery. She asks him how his interview was, and he's like, not great. And then they make out. Izzy strips her bed and cries. George and Callie are in their hotel room, and he apologizes, and she thinks he's apologizing for her, his clothes smelling, but he's apologizing for so much more.
So much more, he said about sex.
So yeah. Let's rate dead this shit.
Dead Mommy's Proud.
Oh yeah, that was another callback to that.
Yep. All right, you go first this time.
Okay, I'm gonna say it's a 4 for me. It's a fellow. It's good.
All right.
I'm into it. It's good. It covers a lot of the end of last night, and obviously the guest cameos are impeccable. Good episode for Mark, good episode for Alex, so we love to see both of those. We've had some pretty shitty episodes for both of them in the past, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm not too far off. I'm giving this a resident 3.3. It was an okay episode. There wasn't like a ton of drama. Obviously there was some good singular scenes. I think the best scene in the episode obviously is the George and Izzy scene in the closet. I have a hard time with cheating always. So, the cheating situation in general, not a big fan, but cameos, obviously, like you said, on point. An interesting cliffhanger with if George is going to tell Callie and what their, mm-hmm. What is the future holding? What does the future hold for their relationship? So yeah, overall 3.3 resident 0.3 for me.
Okay, so let's make some predictions. You think that George is going to tell Callie, or Callie's just going to find out somehow?
I think that George is going to tell Callie. Okay. But it's going to be in some sort of fight where either Callie's going to yell at George because George does something stupid, and he's going to be like, I slept with Izzy. And that's going to happen. Or she's going to say something really, really nice, and George is going to be like, the guilt is overtaking me. I can't tell you. You're doing something super nice, and I need to tell you that I fucked up. So both common TV tropes, but I think one of those two is going to happen. I don't think that Callie's going to find out on her own, because even if Izzy tells Meredith or Christina or Alex, none of them are going to go to Callie, who's an outsider of their group, and be like, hey, you should know this, by the way. But if Callie does find out on her own, I'm going to have egg on my face. And all of you listeners at home are going, oh, Carmen, you don't even fucking know. That's my official prediction with them.
And then what do you think is the future for George and Callie's relationship, and or George and Izzy's relationship?
Do you want to see my snot that I just blew out of my nose?
No.
Okay. All right. It's green.
I have my own toddlers. I don't need to look at your snot too.
Can you hear me blowing my nose? I'm trying to get as far away from the microphone as I can.
I don't think so.
What was the question you were asking me? What's the prediction on what? I'm sorry.
George and Callie's relationship and or George and Izzy's relationship.
I don't see George and Callie staying together. They will get a divorce. But I don't think that George and Izzy will date. I just don't think.
Because they have no chemistry?
They have chemistry. They have chemistry, which I stand by when I predicted this for 50 episodes straight.
And then unpredicted it?
No, I never unpredicted it. Never. It's the final countdown. I don't know. I just don't see them dating. I really don't even see them as best friends. I don't still fully agree with that character arc that they've built for the two of them. But the sex thing was good. Maybe they'll have sex one more time, but Callie and George are for sure not going to last through season four. They'll be divorced way before season four is over. And I know we're in season three, so we have a ways to go, but I'm giving up before season four, they will be divorced.
Okay. And then Burke and Christina.
They're going to get married, but it's going to be bigger than a four fucking person wedding.
What about Mark, Addison, Alex?
I think that Addison sleeps with Alex before the sex challenge is over and she tells Mark and they move on and they date, but he says, I can't even be mad because I slept with Callie literally seconds after sleeping with you.
Literally seconds.
So, that's my prediction on that one.
What about you?
Am I right on any of these? Are you telling me that can you just tell me if I'm right on any of these?
No, I'm not going to tell you if you're right on any of it. What about a prediction on who is going to be the next chief?
I don't think we've met the next chief yet.
Okay.
I think another person from, maybe it's Dr. Han. That would be a twist. I don't think we've met the next chief yet. I think that Colin Marlowe is a small blip in the radar, but I don't think he's going to get it. And I really don't think the chief is going to come from within. I think it's going to
be an outsider.
It's going to be an outsider coming in, but it's going to be a welcome outsider as opposed to, it seems like no one really enjoys Colin Marlowe being around.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I have any other asks of you because nothing interesting is happening with Meredith and Derek right now. They're just being themselves.
Which is like kind of cute. They're like kind of cute right now.
It's fine. They're doing fine. They could go to therapy together and separately.
Yeah. As should all couples.
Yes, as most people benefit from. But okay, I think that's it. Thank you guys again for listening. If you have anything to add, please feel free to reach out to us at our email at graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can find the link to our Patreon in the episode description or in our Instagram bio, which is Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram. And you can also follow our personal pages at chaoticallykelsey and at carmen.gabriel.official on Instagram as well. And we love to hear from you guys. So please reach out with any and all feedback, thoughts, questions, anything like that. You can also check the Instagram for an update potentially about next week if we have to change the schedule or anything weird like that because of the move. But hopefully it won't be an issue, and hopefully we'll just be back here same time, same place next Thursday. So we are looking forward to it. And if you see Carmen walking down the street.
No spoilies. And also, I should remind you, as experienced on Thanksgiving dinner with some family members, when I explained to them that I had a Grey's Anatomy podcast, my stepmom proceeded to say, no spoilers, and I get that, but how many plane crashes and people falling off the cliff and people getting shot and people getting into car crashes need to happen before they leave the hospital and realize that the hospital is the problem? And I'm like, I just don't think you understand what no spoilers means, because it sounds like I now have to prep myself for a plane crash, car crashes, someone falling off a cliff, and more gunshots. Which all of those are fine. It's going to be exciting. But like, just don't say it. Just don't even say that.
We're working on people understanding the concept of no spoilers. I think we're going to make Carmen a shirt that says, seriously, no spoilers. Shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. And then on the back, it'll be our Grey's Academy logo. So
yes.
Anyways, no spoilies. We definitely appreciate it. Definitely say hi on the street if you see us walking around. And we will see you all in the next one.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, Just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.